All right, if you will, please open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. I've heard a lot lately about people searching the scriptures because November's coming. Searching the scriptures over who am I going to vote for? The scriptures tell us who to vote for. And I've seen a lot of stuff on fasting. It's summertime, people trying to get in shape. They search the scriptures for fasting, for dietary advice. I pray tonight we can see our Redeemer in these scriptures. Well, remember, as we study through Ruth, Boaz is a picture of Christ our Redeemer. That's what this book is about. That's what this whole book is about. All the scriptures. Christ told us, He said, all the scriptures, they speak of Me. So that's who our focus is. We see Ruth. Ruth is a picture of a child of God being drawn and being taught to rest in Christ through grace. Through His gracious hand, He brings her and He teaches her. And we see Naomi. And she's a picture of the Lord's church. Those already called by Christ and are used to teach these babes in Christ, to help them, to nurture them, be kind to them. Now, Boaz came to this little house on the edge of his field. That's where we are tonight. This is where we find rest from that field. And then he commanded Ruth, after he had spoke with her, he said, you come in here and eat with us. She sat down beside the reapers, and he reached her that parched corn. He hand-fed her, gave her nourishment. And he said, from now on, you glean in my field. And he commanded his men to drop hands full of purpose to her. He said, she's coming through to pick through this field and get what she can to eat. So you leave her little piles of extra just for her. And don't you rebuke her. Don't reproach her. But you serve her. Be kind to her. Let her eat. And now we see what the sinner does when our kinsman redeemer speaks effectually in our hearts. Boaz told her, he said, you glean in my field. We see there in Ruth 2, verse 17. Ruth 2, 17. Boaz said, you glean in my field. And it says there in verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening. What happens when the Lord speaks to someone? They obey. They do exactly as His Word tells them. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. That's about a bushel of barley. Those of you who ain't familiar, a bushel is roughly about 8 gallons. If you're doing corn, it's 56 pounds of corn as a bushel. That's a good bit of barley. Now, for those folks going through that field, those homeless people, we would call them, they're just trying to get just enough to live on. If they got just two little handfuls of barley, ooh, they could make a patch of bread. They won't starve to death till tomorrow. And here's this Ruth that Boaz took knowledge of, and she comes with a 8-gallon bucket, big bunch of barley. Has Christ commanded you to glean in God's Word, to glean in these Scriptures? That term glean is good to describe when we search the Scriptures. Why is that a good term? We don't harvest. We don't come through and pull everything out and it's bare. We get just a little bit. And we always will find the Lord's daily grace, His daily bread, to be sufficient. There'll always be enough, that manna for today. But Ruth gleaned, and not just for a short time, it says, but until evening. As long as this day of grace lasts, children of God will be gleaning in God's Word until the evening comes, until the darkness comes. And Christ will see to it that His child receives His bread in abundance. We ain't going to go away with just a little bit. We'll have abundance. So who does the Lord cause His child to find when they glean? Who are we to be looking for and feeding upon in this field? So many people look for what to do. What's your gospel? What do you preach? Our gospel's not a what. Our gospel's a who. It's a person. The Lord calls this child to find Christ our Redeemer. our Boaz. We don't look for something to do. We look for the one who's already done. He's already accomplished. That work's been perfected, finished, like we looked at this morning. It says there in verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Ruth had her fill. While she was gleaning, she got her belly full. And she brought her mother-in-law this extra. A lot of extra that was. Now, when a new believer, remember, Ruth's a picture of a new believer in Christ. When a new believer sees Christ in the Scriptures, or they hear a message preached that just blesses their heart, they're overflowing, they have an abundance. This is new to them. Often they'll share it with their brothers and sisters in Christ. They'll come tell you about it. Did you hear that? Oh, I never saw that before. Isn't that precious? Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? They share with them. They glean an abundance of blessings, and they're busting at the seams to share it with somebody, with those that they love. Now here is what those already drawn to Christ, the Naomi, someone's had some growth and grace already, here's how they respond. They're verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Now worldly, Naomi knew where Ruth had been. That's her hometown. And that's her family. And she knows a lot of people. A lot of people know her. And so she's got word that Ruth was down there in Boaz's field. She says, where'd you glean today? Now spiritually, someone will come to a brother or sister and say, oh, isn't that precious? Well, where'd you see that at? We know where you saw it at. And where broughtest thou? And then she says, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She didn't let her answer. Naomi gives praise to the gracious one, not to the one receiving the grace. Now, if this was in our day, and I could imagine our day, it's much different than the days of Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. If someone came, if we were homeless, just scrapping away for food, about to starve to death, and someone showed up with 8 gallons of barley, we would say, what'd you do to get that? How'd you come across that? Oh, you must have stole it. You must have worked hard. You must have impressed somebody. You must have lied. You must have done something. Something had to happen. But a believer, here's a babe in Christ, show them their gleanings, does not tell them what a great job they've done. Oh, you found that? Oh, good on you. That ain't what we say. They give praise to God for shedding light in their brethren, for Him revealing Himself to them. We praise Him. Now, Ruth didn't take knowledge of Boaz. That's what Naomi was asking her. She didn't even know who Boaz was. She knew there was a man named Boaz, but she didn't know the relationship to him. But he took knowledge of her. He was gracious to her. That's why Naomi was asking, who took knowledge of you? Who was gracious to you? That's the order of grace, the true order of grace. We do not take knowledge of Christ first. He took knowledge of us first in eternity, before this world was. He knew us. He loved us then, before we knew Him, before we really knew who He was. He loved us. Now, Naomi here, she's leading Ruth a little bit. She knows whose field Ruth was in and who this gracious man was, and she's kind of gently coaxing it out of her. She's helping her along a little bit. She's being supportive, gentle, kind to her. Verse 19 says, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. He hadn't forgot his obligation to Elimelech, and he hadn't forgot us, the living ones of Elimelech. And Naomi said unto her, because she couldn't hold it any longer, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. We looked at this last time there in the Lord's law, that the requirements of a kinsman, someone sold themselves into slavery or someone lost a piece of land, that near kinsman that could redeem them or their property or whatever, they had to be kin. That was the first requirement. Had to be relations. They had to be able. Had to have the wealth. The ability to pay for it. And they had to be willing. They had to be kin, they had to be able, and they had to be willing. And Naomi's telling her, because Ruth knows these things. She's been taught by Naomi. Naomi tells Ruth, says, that one you were talking to, that one you were gleaning in his field, he has the right to redeem you. He has the ability to redeem you. But you need to find out if he's willing. He has those two things. Is he willing? Now look at verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said also unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Now, we will see Naomi as a type of Christ's church. Now, in the type, I mean, we're speaking of Christ's church who's already been regenerated to faith in Christ. Those that's already been given new life, a new heart. Verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. He commanded you, stay in my field, don't you go to another field. Verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt there, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, as witnesses of Christ, we hear a lot about in days of old and in our day, witnessing and giving. Oh, have you witnessed today? We're going to learn something about witnessing this evening. But as witnesses of Christ, we are to tell needy sinners to obey Christ by keeping near to His people and gleaning in His field alone, to obey His word. Now, Ruth gleaning in the field of Boaz is a picture of God's child gleaning in His word. We come through and read these scriptures looking for a word of our Redeemer. Who can redeem us? That's what we're looking for. A.W. Pink had written several books that began with gleanings. Gleanings in Genesis, gleanings from Paul, and so on. That's what we do. We look to glean. Now we're going to see Naomi was to be a good witness of Christ. Naomi told Ruth who Boaz was. That was being a good witness. Told her who Boaz was. She told her to obey Boaz, to stay close to him. And there in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall not I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Good witnessing is to tell needy sinners who Christ is. And Naomi said there, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Christ is the true Sabbath. He is our rest for the weary and the heavy laden sinner. And Naomi's concerned for her. Somebody new comes in here and they're in bad shape. They're a sinner. Can't do nothing for themselves. They see the law of God and say, I can't keep it. I want to tell you where rest is. Let me show you where rest is. I care for you that you have rest. But believing on Christ is to rest from all of our works, because Christ has fulfilled the law on behalf of His people. We truly rest. The person who has not ceased trying to earn their own righteousness, that have not ceased trying to attempt to making themselves holy by their own works, they have not yet rested in Christ. They're still trying to do something, you ain't resting. That's what, when I sit down in my easy chair, I put my feet up, I rest. I'm not still shoveling, I'm not still sweeping or painting or anything else. I rest. I stop working. That's when we rest. Our Master told us in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. We ain't just talking about physical rest. Our souls are going to have rest in Him. When we rest in Christ, we can truly say, as Kim was playing it earlier, it is well with my soul. When we're resting in Him alone, we see that law. Oh, what am I going to do? I rest in Christ. When I see the world, what's going on around us? Mayhem. Ah, what am I going to do? Rest in Christ. We rest in Him only, don't we? It's well. It's well with my soul. And Naomi here is a good witness. Good witness is to tell sinners that Christ is the kinsman redeemer. She said there in Ruth chapter 3, verse 2. And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? We tell of our kinsmen, don't we? Christ has redeemed all God's elect people from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. He alone is able to deliver us from the dominion of our sin nature, from that reign of sin in us. Christ alone is able to redeem our bodies into that glorious liberty to be sons of God. We tell what all those things here He's able to do. He's our kinsman, and He's able. And we tell needy sinners where Christ is to be found. That's all good news. I love to hear that. Where can I find Him? Where can I get to Him? Where's my kinsman? Naomi told Ruth where Boaz could be found. There in chapter 3, verse 2. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Here's our kinsman. He's able. Here's where he's going to be. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's finished redeeming all of His people on the cross. And He arose from that grave and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we tell guilty sinners to come now to His throne of grace that you might find grace. Here's where He is. Here's His throne. Come to Him. Find grace in Him. And He's now working in this world right now. During all these trials and physical storms and everything else. Historic weather. Whatever it may be. This is His threshing floor. Winnowing His people through His gospel and separating that wheat from the chaff by calling out His people. Turn over to Matthew chapter 3. I'm bad sometimes giving an illustration and I don't tell you what the illustration is. Let's look at this winnowing. It's threshing floor. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now what's this winnowing fan? What's this threshing floor? Best thing I could think of nowadays, they had a soft floor or they'd use a big old blanket and they'd kind of gently bounce it. And if we had a trampoline nowadays, if we took a bunch of barley and laid it out there and kind of tap on that trampoline, that barley will bounce a little bit, you know. And then that kernel will start separating from the chaff. So you have those little light chaff and a heavy kernel, that seed. And then they take a big old fan and they start swinging that fan, make a little wind blow. Well, as that bounces, that kernel is going to fall back down. It has meat. It has substance. Some worth to it. But that chaff, ain't no substance in it. A little breath of wind, it just blows right away. Comes off, don't it? And that's through His Word. That's what He says. Through His Word, He'll do that winnowing. Preaching His gospel, who He is, what He accomplished. There'll be some that land safely and they're gathered together, resting in Him. But others, they hear that word and just a breath blows them right away. They take off with the wind, never come back. Now back to our text there. Good witnessing is to tell sinners that they must repent and come down to Christ's feet in submission to believe in Him alone to save them. And Naomi told Ruth there, chapter 3, verse 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. We're going to put aside all of our filthy rags, all of our self-righteousness, all of our nastiness, and we're going to be humbled before the Lord. It says, get thee down. We won't come in haughty in what we're used to wearing, what we wear every day. Our pride, we're going to be brought down. We're going to have on a different garment. And this is not a public show. It's not to be seen of men. We come in there reverently and we come humbly. Dressed appropriately, because we see the importance of His work. That's why it said, don't be known unto the man till he's done. What he's doing is important. We understand that importance. And so we come reverently, humbly, waiting on him. Now there in verse 4. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. When he goes down there to lay down, you're going to go in, and you're going to uncover his feet, and you're going to wait on him. And he's going to tell you what you shalt do. He's not going to give a general recommendation. He's not going to give a little nudge. He's going to tell you what you shall do. We see the urgency in this, don't we? Get thee down. Go now. Go get cleaned up. You get down there, you wait on him. Mark out where he's going to lay down. Be diligent. Be ready. We see the seriousness in this to obtain the favor of Boaz. Do everything you can to obtain the favor of Boaz. And God grants repentance in his child of mercy commanding us. Here's what you're going to do. Isaiah 1:16 says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. I don't feel like that most days, does it? I don't feel washed. I feel like nothing I do, everything I do is evil. He said, be thou clean. With my word I'll make you clean. But God's grace brings his child down to Christ's feet to trust him, to tell us what we shalt do. Remember that harlot with the box of ointment was found? Turn over to Luke chapter 7. We'll look at it. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She knew where he was. Somebody told her, didn't they? Brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Here's this lady. Remember, the Pharisees said, why are you letting her touch you? Don't you know what she is? She had her hair down. Women in those days had their hair up. That meant she was a lady of the night. And unclean in everybody's eyes. She didn't look like somebody that ought to be touching anybody. And here she was at his feet. She heard where the master was. Come to him. Come to his feet. Probably spent a whole year's salary on that alabaster box and put everything she had. This is all I have. It's yours. Wash your feet with tears. Dry it with your hair. Look over in Luke 10, just a few pages. Remember, Mary was found. Martha was out there working hard. Luke 10, 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She heard him. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Here's Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, and Martha said, I'm working my fingers to the bone here. There's things that need to be done. Can't you tell her to get up and help me? She's just sitting there by your feet. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Every sinner that's saved by the grace of God is brought to the feet of Christ, our Redeemer, brought to our Boaz. And when we are made to know who Christ is, made to be brought down, all the way down to his feet, and we realize that that will never be taken away. That good part by his feet will not be taken away from us. Then what happens? What happens after we're made to know that? Back to our text there in Ruth chapter 3. Next, we see the new heart Christ gives to a true sinner. Now back in chapter 2, there in verse 23, Ruth obeyed Naomi. She said she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz. So she gleaned unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi told her Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, that she must come down to his feet and wait on him. Go to his feet and wait. Wait on him to tell her what to do. And we see in verse 5, Ruth 3, 5. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now Ruth is a picture of a child whose heart's been broken by that irresistible grace of God. And remember now, she's not a child. She's sitting a little girl. She's probably 20, 30 years old. She's a widow. She'd been married for a while, had a long journey to get home. She's of age. She's a grown-up. And she obeyed like a little child. She obeyed her mother-in-law. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And she laid down at Boaz's feet. She obeyed the Lord. She obeyed the word of the Lord. Now, remember Naaman, a leper. He was thought he was a king who happened to be a leper. And it turns out he was a leper who happened to be a king. That's us, isn't it? I'm a child of God who happens to be a sinner. Not in this body. But he came in all his pride, all his arrogance to Elisha. But Elisha didn't even come out to meet him. All these other false preachers, they come out to him. They got to be kind to him. Try to get some favor with him. Elisha sent a servant out to him. I ain't even walking out there. He said, you go tell him to get down that river. Go to Jordan and wash. And Naaman got mad. Boy, there's a lot nicer rivers I could be dipping in. Some good old Gentile rivers. And you got this little nasty stream down here. Why do I got to get in that? But he thought Elisha would heal him the way that Naaman wanted him to be healed. Well, he wanted it done. But finally, what did Naaman do? He went down and he washed in the Jordan. And only then did he come away clean of his leprosy when he obeyed. If you're lost, if you're in real danger of eternal death, eternal damnation, and someone gives you instructions, you listen. That's the same way on this earth. I've seen some people badly injured physically. And if you've got a big old hunk of metal sticking out of you, if you're impaled and you say, sit down and raise this arm up, people will sit down and they'll raise that arm up. They'll do whatever you tell them because they're in need, true need. Equally so, when God's shown us our sin so that we see a drastic need, then and only then will we be given a heart to pay attention. We'll be given a heart to obey His Word and given a heart to come down to Christ's feet. We'll come to Him. Only when God gives us a new heart by His grace will we obey God like a little child. Now, little children obey better than big people do, but sometimes it's tough. In our illustrations, sometimes little children don't obey, don't they? His children obey. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. He gives us a heart to obey like a little child. Who we thank for that? Him. Thank the one that gave it. Now we see in our text here a picture of that plea for mercy that God puts in our mouths. It comes from our hearts there in verse 8, Ruth 3, 8. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art near kinsman. Have you heard God speak into your heart, asking you to confess, who art thou? Who are you? Ruth's answer here teaches us so much. She said, I am Ruth. In her answer, she confesses she's a Moabitess. I'm not of this land. I don't deserve to be in this land. I'm a poor foreigner. That's what I am, homeless. a stranger, a mercy beggar. She was the one with no worth in herself. I'm Ruth. I ain't worth nothing. She was bankrupt and she was in need of redemption. And then she says there, I am thine handmaid. And her answer, she confesses that she was willing to be Boaz's servant. I'm your handmaid. She's the one who came to his house on the edge of that field, the one that came to Boaz's table. Boaz has commanded her to glean in his field. She's confessing that she was Boaz's handmaid to show mercy and grace to her. I've done everything else she told me. If you are willing, if you're willing to show grace to me. And then she made her plea. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid. She's asking Boaz to cover his handmaid with his garment. That's a symbol of a covenant relationship. In our day, that's like giving somebody a diamond ring on her left hand. That's an engagement. I'll cover you. She's saying, it's a symbol of marriage. He comes to her, and he takes his garment and robes her. That's what our Master, our Kinsman Redeemer does to us. We're robed in His garments. And that's not something that lasts for a little bit. That lasts forever. And we serve Him. I remember the first time I spent the night in the desert. Everybody said, you need to bring a lot of cold weather gear and bring a big old thick sleeping bag. And I said, boys, it's hot. I can't sleep when it's hot. I ain't going to do that. It's going to be 80-some degrees. I ain't going to sleep a wink. Well, it was 125 and it dropped down to 80. That 45 degree difference, you get cold at 80. And I was sleeping on metal. And in the back of them vehicles, there's a bench seat up here all cushiony, and down here's a metal floor. And I was on the metal floor. I was the lowest guy on a totem pole. And that guy above me, it got cold and I was shivering. He didn't say a word. And he had a big old cover over him. He just kind of eased it down over me, poor little new guy, and covered me. And we didn't get married. but you know what? If that man needed a cup of coffee, from that day on, I'd get him whatever he needed. He showed kindness to me. He showed graciousness to me. And it was merciful. I was a young person that didn't deserve it. Deserved a whole lot worse. And I followed him. Served him. But on what grounds does Ruth ask this? She says there in her verse, for thou art a near kinsman. She asks mercy from Boaz according, because that was step one, according to God's word. She declares, you're the kinsman. And it declares that Boaz was the one who had the right to redeem her. And she's asking Boaz for mercy. She asks Boaz for grace. And like that leper that came to Christ and bowed at his feet, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, if you will, you can make me clean. Like that publican smote on his breast, Ruth saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. The plea God puts in the heart of his child is a plea for mercy and a plea for grace. And that redemption is found only in the one who has the right to redeem us, our Master. Now lastly, we see what happens to every true sinner who comes to Christ empty-handed, with no merit in themselves, nothing, just a Moabitess seeking mercy alone. Look in verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Boaz gave glory to the Lord for blessing Ruth with virtue so that she could look to no other. She didn't look to somebody rich. She didn't look to somebody poor. Didn't matter who it was. She only looked to her kinsman redeemer, not to another. Christ does the same thing to all who God the Father draws to Christ's feet. We look to Him alone. It don't matter if somebody come with riches. I don't care. I look to my kinsman. Oh, I got a sob story. I'm poor. I look to my kinsman. That's the only one we look to. And He said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, and no man can come to me except the Father in heaven draw him. We'll be brought to his feet, and we won't leave him. Every sinner drawn of God to the Father who comes to Christ begging for mercy will hear Christ declare through his word to their heart, "Fear not, I will do to thee all that thou require." That's what he answers. Every time one of them angels appeared, didn't it? First thing they said, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." And he says, "Fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requires." What's required of me? Christ did it. Well, what about this? He did it. Well, I'm scared. Fear not. Christ the Son entered into a covenant before the foundation of the world to redeem God's elect people on a cross at Calvary. And he finished the work of paying all the debt of all of his people. Everything we owe, he swallowed it up. He satisfied it. And the grace of the Holy Spirit has made every sinner that comes to him a new creature. They've made us virtuous. Even cleaned up. Ruth probably didn't look like a virtuous lady that day, did she? I don't feel virtuous. I'm sure you don't feel virtuous. You're virtuous. All the city's going to know you're virtuous. How about that? Are you guilty? Is the mercy of God your only hope? Will you flee to Christ for mercy? Go to his feet. Get ye down. He has never turned away one sinner that come to his feet begging for mercy. He's told him, said, "Fear not. I'll do everything you require. Everything's required of you." In Mark 7, chapter 7, it says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." Because of his Son, what he accomplished for his people, God the Father delights in mercy. He said, "You're virtuous." Every sinner that comes to his feet broken and begging mercy hears the same reply, "Fear not, I will do all that thou require." He doesn't say, "I'll do all, do some. I'll get you halfway there and you got to finish it." He said, "I'll do all that's required of you." He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And salvation begins and it ends solely in our Redeemer, in our kinsman Redeemer. Now, what I was going to have you turn to, but we read it, so I'll just read it to you. Isaiah 55, verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way." What's that mean? Stop doing your own works for salvation. They're wicked. Your wicked works. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought." What's that mean? We think we're righteous. We think we got some merit. We think we have virtue of our own. He's saying, stop doing what you're doing. Stop thinking what you're thinking. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." You come empty, broken with contrite heart to his feet, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what I require. I need a pardon. He said, "Fear not. I'll do all of it." Amen.